Acts chapter 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Now this is the same Timothy that the Apostle Paul wrote to in the Apostle Paul's letters, according to 1 and 2 Timothy. Amen? So this is the same Timothy that he wrote to, okay? He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now notice that. You would think that the Holy Spirit would always want you to minister the word of God, right? Yes, but only by His leading. Okay? Again, this proves the fact that we only preach by the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because it says here in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay? Meaning the Holy Spirit didn't want them to preach there at that time. Him. And in fact, they may not have been appointed to preach there ever. The Holy Spirit may have orchestrated someone else to preach there. But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit does forbid certain people to preach to certain places or certain people. Hallelujah, because we go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the account of the acts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is in control. Amen. Keeps us in subjection to not only His Word, but unto Jesus Christ by His authority and by the Godhead of God the Father. Amen? We're under subjection to God through His Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. They wanted to go there, but the Holy Spirit had something else in mind at this time. And we'll find out in a minute why. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, that's the reason why the Holy Spirit did not orchestrate them to be preaching in Asia or Bithynia. Because the Holy Spirit wanted them to go to Macedonia for a reason, you know, in a certain time frame. Okay? And that's why. But see, we go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we're just going by our own whims and desires, guess what? Nothing much is going to take place. The Word of God may be seated in people's hearts, but it'll take forever to come into fruition. But if you go by the leading of the Holy Spirit, guess what? The seeds are planted in the hearts of man, becomes watered, and God gets a harvest fairly quickly. Right? Amen. It's not by our might, nor by our own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So we go by the leading of the Holy Spirit always. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not after the flesh. And they're not talking about just sinful flesh, but they're talking about our own desires, our own whims. We don't go by those things. We go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because why? Much success will be if we go by the leading of the Lord. And another thing, I personally know what it's like to preach by my own desires, my own whims. In other words, preaching in the flesh. Preaching with my own agenda. Like, man, I want to see people come to Christ. I see in the Word of God that my great commission is to go out and to preach. Yes, it is. And so I went. And the Lord taught me a few things in that. But I also ministered by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I rather go by the leading of the Holy Spirit, because when I was ministering the flesh, there was a lot of argument that took place. There was a lot of needless things, because why? If I went by the leading of the Holy Spirit, guess what? They would be listening, they would accept the Word of God, and they may have come to Christ. Because there would be no arguments, there would be nothing but success. I did plant seeds, and they were very successful seeds. But when you're arguing, stirring up strife and contentions, that's not the way of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when he calls us to go out and preach, he says, be as gentle as doves, but as wise as a serpent. Okay? We're to be wise, but gentle. Because I've seen it for myself. Christians who go out, not by the leading of the Holy Spirit, but by their own agenda, by their own whims, by their own desires to see people come to Christ, by their own zeal, if you will. But they force-fed the Word of God down people's throats, and there's a lot of people who are against Christianity because of that. You know, people are like babies. Okay, never forget this analogy. People are like babies. When you force-feed a baby, guess what? They're going to spit up that food, right? Well, the same thing with everybody. We're all like babies in God, okay? And when we force-feed people the Word of God, they're going to spit it back at us. They're going to speak profanity. They're going to hate God even more than they do now. They're going to argue about it. They're going to try to persuade you from your faith and so forth. But that's not how we go about, because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, okay, that we preach. Being gentle. And that's all found in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus prepared his disciples and then took them out to preach, saying the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what he told them to do. And proclaim that the kingdom of God is near them. And be gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. Amen. We're supposed to have the zeal of the Lord, the fire of the Lord, but with the knowledge of God's holy word, with the instructions of Jesus on how to go about it. Okay? Not by our own desires, not by our own flesh, but by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're seeing here. Acts chapter 16, verse 11. We continue to read. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now here's an interesting note. Here's a demon-possessed woman, meaning the demon was speaking through this woman about Paul, okay, testifying on their behalf that there is a way of salvation. This demon is already proclaiming salvation for them, in fact. It wasn't saying stay away from him. It wasn't saying don't listen to him. That's not the truth. It wasn't saying that at all. But this woman was actually proclaiming the gospel message, was almost saying that it's true, okay? And this she did for many days, okay? But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her! And he came out of her that very hour. But when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Why? Why was their hope of profit gone? It's because the demon was prophesying. Okay, the demon was fortune-telling. Okay? That proves that fortune-telling is part of witchcraft. That's why Christians don't go by the way of horoscopes, because there's demons behind it all. There's demon influence behind it all. That's why we don't do these things. We don't read cards. We don't read ruin rocks, you know, for fortunes. We go by faith in the Lord. Why? Because divination is an abomination in the sight of God. Found in Leviticus chapter 19, starting in verse 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. Why? Spiritists are driven by demonic spirits, demonic forces, just like the woman in the book of Acts that we just read about. Okay? It's an abomination in the sight of God to practice divination, sorcery, because that's part of witchcraft. Okay? And then according to the word of God, anyone who practices sorcery will not enter the kingdom of heaven. First off, in Revelation chapter 22, tells us this fact. Jesus speaks here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. It says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commands, or in other translations, to wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside, meaning outside of heaven, are dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. In other words, to practice hypocrisy. Hypocrites will not enter the kingdom of heaven either. Jesus speaks in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things, in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So he's proclaiming that sorcerers will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because there's a demonic spirit behind sorcery. Sorcery, or spell cast, curse cast, is a real satanic power. It's a real satanic power. I know this from experience, because I used to practice sorcery. I was studying voodoo. I was getting into Wicca. I was learning certain things about witchcraft, such as astral projections. I was learning all those things, and I was learning it fluently. I was learning the Sumerian language and learning it quickly, you know, to do certain spell casts and so forth. And so I was growing in knowledge very quickly in sorcery, because there's a real satanic power. And how I even got into it was I heard a voice speak to me, telling me where to go find witchcraft books to study from. And I was in my sophomore year in high school, back in 92, in an English class, out of the blue, as we were watching Jaws. I learned from it, started practicing it. I was practicing divination. When I'd cast rocks to read, I'd hear voices telling me what to tell people. Witchcraft is a very real satanic power. But the child of God has power over Satan in every way by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God does not want us to be in this, doesn't want us to be hanging around it, because Satan is a liar. And how divination works, just to be real flat and blunt about it, Satan will plant a seed in your mind, and if you believe it, it will come to pass, for he understands how faith is operating. You can have faith in godly things, but you can have faith in unholy things also. Because faith works both ways. You can have faith in the holy things of God. You can have faith in the wrong things of God. Like, for example, if you're superstitious, you break a mirror, and 7 years bad luck, guess what? It's going to come to pass. Why? Because you give it power by your own faith. Okay? Same thing with godly faith. If you have faith by doing God's word, if you have faith to preach the gospel to people, if you have faith that when you lay hands on the sick, they will be healed, it will be done. Jesus had taught, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou art removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done for you. So he's talking about faith. You can have faith in the great things, but you can have faith in the evil things also, Because that's how Satan also works. Okay? So if he can plant seeds in your mind, guess what? It will come to pass because you gave it power through your own faith in believing it. Okay? That's how divination works. That's why we don't go by it. Because why? There's a satanic power behind it. And it's very real. There's demon influence behind divination and sorcery. There's nothing good out of it. Okay? There's no such thing as white magic and black magic. They're all the same. It says Satan has lied to this group of people versus the other group. White magic supposedly deals with healings and so forth, but it casts its curse, believe it or not, through love spells, bringing people together that were never meant to be together. I mean, it just goes on and on. Because why? Witchcraft is doing things against people's will, okay? There's a threefold rule in witchcraft, in all sorts of witchcraft, such as, whatever you do unto others will be done unto you threefold, okay? That's their number one rule. So beware of what you do, because it will come back to you threefold. That's what is known as the threefold rule. And that's in all witchcraft, white or black magic. White magic supposedly deals with the good side of magic, but there's nothing good about it, because it's all demon-possessed. Doing things against people's will, okay, and against the nature of God. In other words, rebelling against God. And that's who Satan is, a rebellious power against God. That's why God Almighty tells us not to go by these ways, amen? Hallelujah, because of satanic influence. And white magic users, they're the ones they're lied to because they think they're doing good when they're not. Black magic users are those who know that they're serving Satan. They both caught him in a lie. Okay, amen. But it's a real power, but God has power over Satan at any time of the day. And we have a power over Satan through the authority of Jesus Christ. Not by our own authority, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And another place that sorcery is an abomination in the sight of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Let's read that real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10 tells us, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. Now, witchcraft today is a very real deal, okay? There are what is known as breeders. Children who are raised up to breed, and they're usually within their own families of the parents, and how they breed is that their virginity is sacrificed on the altar with other members, impregnating these young girls to breed for their congregation to grow from within. That's an abomination inside of God. Amen. They also still do human blood sacrifices as well. So don't ever believe that they don't, because they tell you they don't. They still do. They're pagans. And they've been practicing this for thousands of years. So he's telling them that they practice an abomination in the sight of God. Don't be one of them. Okay? Or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer. Why? Because there's a demonic spirit behind it. Or one who conjures spells or a medium. Now, what's interesting, that in the world of witchcraft, there's also what is known as channelers, and how channeling works is that in order to speak to the dead or to commune to the dead, you must allow that spirit to enter the body. Possession. Hello? But it's not a spirit of the past deceased loved one. Because in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, man is appointed to die once and then to judgment. Go straight to judgment, to the throne of God in judgment, instantly. And there's no spirit of a family member hanging around. This is part of the lie of the devil, that spirits of past humans are just hanging around waiting to go into the light or refuse to go into light because they have something they need to get done here on earth. No. That's a lie of Satan. Familiar spirits is what these are, okay? Posing to be something that they're not, okay? Just to keep you in a lie. That's what's behind all this. Or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Ye shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. not only to the Jews, but have not appointed such to begin with. This is all part of the satanic power, a lie. Sorcery is not of God, and those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're rebellious against God. They're trying to influence the world with satanic power. Why do you think things are happening the way they are in these last days, and it's getting much worse? Satanic power. You know, I also know that there are witchcraft groups that are fasting and praying against the church to fall. So satanic power can rise. Why? It's because as long as the church is here on earth, guess what? Conviction will take place because people are preaching the word of God by the inspiration and conviction and the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised in John chapter 16 that he will send the Holy Spirit to the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And as long as the church is here preaching the gospel, telling people what right and wrong is, there will always be a conviction because the Holy Spirit is working. He works with us, through us, and around us, who preaches the word of God. And he is God's influence on earth. Amen. Because God the Father and God the Son are at rest. But the Holy Spirit is at work. Amen. The Holy Spirit is at work on earth. As long as the church is here and we don't compromise and we're being led by the Holy Spirit to minister the Word of God, therefore there will be conviction. And that's why these witchcraft groups are fasting and praying to Satan to try to get this church age to fall, you know, to be in apostate condition, to be ineffective. Yeah. And that's why a lot of ministers have fallen away, because of the satanic influence of all types of medias that try to get us to sin. That's why the Bible says, do not look at anything evil. Do not set anything evil before our eyes. Do not listen to evil, gossip and slander, murmuring and complaining and so forth. We're supposed to have the zeal and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another meaning of the word sorcery, okay, according to the Word of God, is drug use. Amen? In Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 20, says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, this is the tribulation period in the end times, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, of their thefts. Okay? And what's going on here is that God is bringing judgment upon the earth, the judgment of trumpets, if you will. Starting all the way back, according to Revelation chapter 8 and 9. And so every time the Lord would do something, he would announce by trumpets the plagues or destruction that he brought forth upon the earth, okay? And every time he did something, it is mentioned that they did not repent of their sins in general, okay? And so it says right here in verse 21, says, and they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Now, the word sorceries used in this chapter and verse is a Greek word. The Greek word is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from. And it generally describes the use of medicine, drugs, or spells. Later, the word was used of poisoning and then of sorceries, accompanied by drugs, incantations, charms, and magic. So this word is being used here in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Pharmakia, to describe this word, sorcery. So it also means drug use. Sorcery, sex, and drug use, they do go hand in hand. It's all demon worship. It's all demonically influenced. Why do you think our state government want to legalize pot? It's because they want to dumb down Americans from thinking rationally, logically, morally. You know, these are all demonic influences. These are all demonic activities going on all around us, okay? Because it's Satan behind it all to begin with. And so, in other words, why does he want to dumb down America? So he can have his firm grip with Antichrist influence.
And he uses drugs to do so. He uses debauchery, sex, sexual immoralities of all types to get people away from God as far away as possible. Because why? He knows that sin separates humanity from God. Using all these different tactics and tools. And if he can get some Christians to compromise in that mix, he'll try. He'll try to. Okay, that's why we have to stay strong against satanic attacks like these. Because why? He's trying to bring about his only son, the Antichrist. Hence his name, Antichrist. He is everything Antichrist. Anything that Jesus is for, and every holy thing he taught, the Antichrist is against. He's the exact opposite. Amen? And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing these Antichrist influences in these last days, like never before, and more bluntly than ever before. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8, tells us, you know, when all things are said and done, okay, and the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet are judged, all peoples on the face of the earth, from Adam to the last person on earth, is judged for all eternity, heaven or hell. When all Christians are judged, based on Revelation chapter 20, actually Revelation chapter 19 and 20, when all that is said and done, when all the scripture is fulfilled, then chapter 21 happens, dealing with the new heaven and the new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth have passed away, so therefore God makes a new heaven and a new earth. And he talks about he'll wipe away every tear from the eyes of those who kept the faith in Jesus Christ, who walked and did not compromise, who walked according to his commands, who was faithful, who was the real bride of Christ, the church, the faithful ones, hallelujah. And when all that is done, then in verse 5 it tells us, then he, meaning the Lord Jesus, who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes, overcomes what? Sin, temptations, all the things that happen on earth, all that we had to endure, the whole world's sins we had to endure. You know, we had to endure the enemy, the temptation of the enemy. Okay? For those who overcame shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is he talking about there? He's talking about hell. All those, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's eternity of hell. That's literal hell. I'm not talking about figurative hell. We're talking about a literal hell. Amen? Because in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 tells us this as fact. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. At the end of the day, God is saying right here, everyone will receive a paycheck one way or another, heaven or hell. If heaven, then all children of God will be judged according to their deeds, what they have done, good and bad, determines rewards. But those who rejected Jesus Christ as the Son of God receive hell. Because why? It said right here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, those who were afraid to do and stand up for God and His Word, who are afraid to do God's will, the unbelieving, those who are rebellious against God, those who read His commands but didn't do His commands, those who read His Word did not do His Word. That's not only cowardly, but that's also unbelieving. Because why? Faith plus action proves belief. If you have faith and works, that proves your belief in Jesus Christ. But those who do not do God's will, God's Word, they're in unbelief. You know, the Jews back in the Old Testament days, in the book of Exodus, were judged because they didn't believe. They were unbelieving. Let's go to that real quick. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, which means He's still saying, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, even though God has shown them the signs, the wonders, the miracles, proving to the Jewish people that He's God, and that you can trust in Him. He'll never let you down. Man will always let you down, but God cannot ever fail, because it's not in His nature. Okay? And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. This is God the Father speaking. They shall not enter my rest. Now, He's not only talking about the physical rest, which is the promised land, literally Israel, the nation of Israel, but He's also talking spiritually, not figuratively, spiritually, literal spiritual matters of heaven or hell. Right here. And those people who died in the wilderness did not enter God's rest. Because why? He swore. God the Father swore in His wrath, His anger, they shall not enter His rest. Ever. And they didn't. Not physically on earth, and not spiritually after this life and death. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's not being cowardly. That doesn't sound like being cowardly or unbelieving, does it? If we hold fast to our faith, and if we have faith, therefore we'll have action, which proves our belief in God? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's take, for example, what this means. You're not giving all your tithe. You're giving some of it, but not all of it. Why? Because you're holding it back. Why? Because you need to pay bills, right? But God said in His Word, bring ye all the tithe, that there will be meat in my house. Prove me now here, thus says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. Says all the tithes into the storehouse. This is Malachi chapter 3, by the way. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, where there may be meat in my house for the servants of God. Test me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. These are the blessings of God that He's talking about, if you give all the tithes. Now, if you believe in that, if you believe that He'll never fail you, even though you don't have enough to pay your tithes and your bills at the same time, but if you give God all your tithes, guess what? He will honor you. He will honor you. He will bless you. Because that's part of faith and action. You believe that God cannot fail. Therefore, you give the tithe, all the tithe, even though it doesn't make sense to you, you give it all. This is just an example. You give it all, right? So that's action. And those two combined prove your belief in God. And therefore, He will bless you. Guaranteed. His Word cannot, He cannot lie. Because whatever He said in His Word will come to pass. Amen.
Hallelujah. Just like the King David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. The righteous. Those who keep his commands, amen. Hallelujah. Who does not compromise. And he continues on. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard, rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They did not believe God. They did not trust God, even though they saw all the signs, wonders, and miracles he did. Parting the Red Sea, for example. Major deal. Giving them water to drink, meat to eat when they were in the wilderness. Gave them manna from heaven. But yet they still grumbled and complained. They still sinned against God. They still stole from one another. They still sinned against each other and against God and his commands. Okay? Worshipping idols. They saw all these great things, but yet they still somehow were in unbelief. Okay, as it says here. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, the promise still remains of entering his rest. Now, we're not talking about physical promised lands today. We're talking about heaven or hell. That's what the Holy Spirit is talking about here. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Anyone who does the will of God, who keeps his commands to the end, according to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, we just read, therefore we will not come short of it. Because God still promises, if we go down to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, he still promises rest. Okay? And rest means salvation today. And it says, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he had said, so I swore in my wrath, that they shall not enter my rest, meaning they shall not have salvation, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those who whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the point, and that's what we're supposed to be doing today. Not hardening our hearts, but being compliant to God's commands, God's word, to the very end. Okay? Lest we become disobedient. And disobedience is unbelief. But see, here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, those who practice abominations in the sight of God, according to God's word, murders, sexually immoral. These are not children of God. These are Satan's children. Sorceries, such as spell casts, curse casts, drug use. Why? Because sex, drugs, and witchcraft, they go hand in hand. Divination, they all go hand in hand. They're all demonically influenced. They're all satanically influenced. Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15 is the point. And anyone not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Now, how can our names be found in the Lamb's book of life? By accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, being born again, according to John chapter 3, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being born again, that's what that means, We now are new creation, for the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, we have this new life in Christ, and by the help of the Holy Spirit to live according to God's word, holy and righteously, according to God's standards, to the end, without compromise, without being lazy, without complacency. I mean, we'll have our moments and times, but to continually not wanting to serve God, continually not wanting to live holy as much as possible, closely to God's standards of living, those who continually and deliberately sin against God will not enter his rest, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, because they're not his children. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us this fact. Hebrews chapter 10, as a warning, starting in verse 26, says, "For if we sin willfully or continually, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." It's talking about the church. It's talking about believers in Christ Jesus. Not the heathens, the unrepented sinners or heathens, the children of the devil, but the children of God. "But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries," which means you can lose your salvation. "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." He's telling that to his children. Amen. The Word of God also tells us that if judgment begins in the house of God first, what will become of the ungodly and the unrepentant sinner? Therefore, if we continue to sin against God, we will not enter his rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Same thing in 1 John chapter 2. It tells us, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 6 says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Okay? That's only when we mess up. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commands. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Jesus Christ. He who says he abides in Jesus, the Christ, ought himself also to walk just as he walked, holy and blamelessly." That's what he means here. Not deliberately sinning, not trying to live according to God's righteous standards. Those are the people that will not enter his rest. That's the people that is mentioned also in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. In Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 17, says, "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.' And he came out of that very hour." That also proves that we have the same authority of the Holy Spirit for those who have the Holy Spirit living in them. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's not God's will for anyone to stay demon-possessed. Amen. But to be set free. Why? But that was Jesus' great commission, stemming out of Isaiah chapter 61. Let's read it real quick. Isaiah 61. Now, we all know this scripture. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor," meaning the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to heal, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, to proclaim liberty to the captives," proclaim liberty to the captives, setting them free, setting the sinful captives free. Okay, why? Because sin has satanic influence.
Amen. But setting is free through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the authority of Jesus Christ. And the opening of the prisons of those who are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, for oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
That was the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That's what he meant when he said that the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen. That's his will. People to be set free, to be delivered, to be the righteousness of God, to be a child of God. And the only way to do that is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And from there, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, sealing us for the day of redemption as a seal of guarantee. Okay? To help us to live holy unto God, well-pleasing as a living sacrifice unto him. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Going by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's his will. And the Apostle Paul here did just that. He casted out a demon out of this woman and by the authority of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in him. Amen? That's God's will. Not for people to stay bound. Notice he didn't preach to her, but preached to everybody. She overheard it all. She was following him around. So the word of God was planted in her, not directly, but indirectly, because she was an earshot from all of them. And she was delivered by the authority of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in the Apostle Paul. Amen.